This poem is called The Tiny Men in the Horse's Mouth. It begins with an epigraph, a quotation from Dan Cummins, who said, "Never look a gift horse in the mouth, but what if on the horse's tongue there's a tiny little man playing piano? Why would you not look at that? That's incredible." It's why the gift horse is a gift, and there is always a tiny man inside, though sometimes more than one. You should look. Peer as far back as you can, because if he's not playing piano, he and his friends might be sharpening their blades inside that dark, inside the horse's belly, inside your sleeping city. 20 men crawl out of the gift. You'll want to see this. You'll want to see how they spill out and open the gates and paint everything the color of burned flesh. The war is ending. Achilles is dead. Paris lives on in shame. And one man plays piano as the city burns. I've been there, and because I didn't look, I never saw it coming. Phone calls in the middle of the night, hospital beds, friends staggering in, the world on fire, the horse's mouth, pry the jaws back, and stare through the phlegm that falls between the teeth and the hallway of the throat. Whoever told you not to look is hiding something, because the world is beautiful, haunted, and begging you to receive its offering. May you never find such music again. Letter beginning with two lines from Czesław Miłosz. You whom I could not save, listen to me. Can we agree Kevlar backpacks shouldn't be needed for children walking to school? Those same children shouldn't also require a suit of armor when standing on their front lawns or snipers to watch their backs as they eat their lunches. They shouldn't have to stop to consider the speed of a bullet or how it might reshape their bodies. But one winter, back in Detroit, I had one student who opened a door and died. It was the front door to his house, but it could have been any door, and the bullet could have written any name. The shooter was 13 years old and was aiming at someone else. But a bullet doesn't care about aim. It doesn't distinguish between the innocent and the innocent. And how is the bullet supposed to know this? Child would open the door at the exact wrong moment because his friend was outside screaming for help. Did I say I had one student who opened a door and died? That's wrong. There were many. The classroom of grief had far more seats than the classroom for math, though every student in the classroom for math could count the names of the dead. A kid opens a door. The bullet couldn't possibly know, nor could the gun, because guns don't kill people. They don't have minds to decide such things. They don't choose or have a conscience. And when a man doesn't have a conscience, we call him a psychopath. And this is how we know what type of assault rifle a man can become and how we discover the hell that thrums inside each of them. Today, there's another shooting with dead bodies everywhere. It was a school, a movie theater, a parking lot. The world is full of doors, and you, who we cannot save, may open a door and enter a meadow or a eulogy. And if the latter, you will be mourned, then buried in rhetoric. There will be monuments of legislation, little flowers made from red tape. What should we do? We'll ask again. The door will close. The earth will close like a door above you. What should we do? And that click you hear, that's just our voices, the deadbolt of discourse sliding into place.